And you are listening to the Fans of Wrestling show here on the FOW Network. It is FOW Live. I am Patrick. With me is always Danny Danger. How are you, Danny?
We're at before we know it. We hope we'll have.
Danny, you're cutting in and out here. Can you hear me?
We go without the headset then.
Is that what we're doing these days now?
Aye. So we're just going to have to do it this way.
Hello. Yay. That sounds like a much better Danger.
It's at least not clicking in and out. The sound quality is probably not as good, but at least it will be consistent.
Yeah. At least we got you loud and clear.
Yes. So as I was saying, it is sign-pointing season. WrestleMania will be here before we know it. But there's also many other things happening in the world of wrestling, and hopefully we'll have the chance to talk about all of them.
Of course. So much to talk about. What did we kick it off with? Experienced, of course, you and Eric, and was it just the two of you, or was
Eddie joined us up there? He was already in North Carolina for work, so okay. He just joined us up there rather than riding up with us. But yes, Eric and I went to drove to Charlotte, North Carolina, to see NXT Vengeance Day. It was, they had it in the arena that, I guess the Charlotte Hornets use, the basketball team.
Okay.
So I had not been to that arena, seeing my times in wrestling. Wasn't too bad. It was a good show. The four-way tag match was probably my favorite just because it was kind of wild and all over the place. And you had, four very different styles of teams. Probably that four-way. The women's match, the women's title match was good. Disappointed. Our girl Gigi did not win. We made signs to bring and show her support. There was also some other people there with giant letters spelling Gigi. So I guess that's possibly what led to the split and led to Gigi kind of being put in that underdog position, I guess, as they saw that she had a better fan following possibly and would make an easier transition into the babyface in that role.
Yeah. Yeah, no, for sure. It was a really fun show. I thought, going into it, I mean, I'm sure even better live, but it looked, at least the way it came off on TV to me, not all the results I expected. However, it did make for a fun show. Wesley, of course, we've seen Wesley in Independence. I thought he did better than I expected. I expected Dijak to just
throw him around. That match definitely. There were a lot of people there. They're cheering for Wesley, so it seems that he has quite a good following, at least in that area. I pretty much expected Dijak to kind of throw him around and beat him quickly. So the fact that he held his own fairly well and got the win was a bit surprising to me too.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Braun Breaker not done, of course. With the industry title, he retained. And surprisingly enough, not the longest match of the night. That went to Carmelo Hayes versus Apollo Crews.
Yeah, that was I liked that match, but at the same time, it seemed that a two out of three falls between those two guys didn't really make the most sense to me because both of them rely on speed, on combination offense. So for a two out of three falls match, they kind of had to drag it out. And since neither guy is really like a technician type wrestler, it seemed very apparent that they were just drawing it out, holding on long rest holds and these kind of things. I was surprised by the two straight by Melo, especially given the weird shenanigans that somehow didn't even really factor into the finish at all. I was kind of confused by that. Trick Williams pulling down the turnbuckle pad. Of course, Melo hits it instead of Apollo. But Melo's able to recover and put Apollo down. What was his name? Colonel Aziz, General Aziz, whatever. One of Apollo's former guys when he had an accent there for those few months, comes back and does not play a factor at all into the match. And then he gets mad and beats Apollo up afterwards. So it's kind of like a lot happening at the end there that didn't really need to. That's kind of where I was a little confused. That they threw so much at it, and then like ultimately none of that mattered to the finish. Apollo loses two straight, essentially clean, and then he gets beat up by his former partner, as Melo moves on to seemingly towards Braun Breaker. Whereas Apollo is now kind of being pushed into a babyface role, battling his former guy, which to me is a better role for Apollo. They just need to find his ring style is much more catered to that. They just need to find some type of personality or character that he can gravitate towards that people will connect with. Because just going out there and being smiley, happy to be here guy, he tried it and it kind of didn't really work for him. And then they tried to make you not like him, but then he went in there and did a bunch of flashy moves and stuff. So that's kind of a weird thing too, is the fans are gonna like the flashy moves and the offense, even if they're kind of, they don't really like your character. So it throws some stuff in there. So that match, yeah, was really long. It felt long. It felt like they were dragging it out for parts just to drag it out because it was a two out of three falls. And even parts, kind of losing the crowd a bit in the middle. Thankfully to regain them at the end. But yeah, people were hyped for it. People were hyped for Melo. And they definitely loved his win.
Yeah, definitely. And of course, what do you call it here? So we kind of sort of cover most of the matches here. But I will say this: when going to the main event, Braun Breaker really, winning decisively here in the steel cage match, but then, I think everything now is lined up. We get to see Braun Breaker versus Carmelo Hayes. I think it's the match that we've been wanting to watch. I think perfect headliner for the WrestleMania weekend.
Yeah,
Weekend in
that's
Louisville.
what it seems like. They did that video during during the show to kind of officially announce Stand and Deliver as the NXT show for Mania Weekend. So yeah, I'm guessing that Carmelo Hayes versus Bron Breakker's the main event for that. And, you know, people have been saying, oh, as soon as Bron drops it, he's going up, et cetera, et cetera. That's not necessarily the case. You know, that was the case a few years ago. You held a title for a while and you got popular, and then as soon as you lost that title, you moved up. That's not always the case. You know, I mean, we've had some people stick around for a while and hold a variety of championships in NXT, you know, not just one or two. So it doesn't, you know, yeah, both guys are probably being highly scouted by Raw and SmackDown, but that doesn't mean that either one of them will possibly go up immediately following WrestleMania.
Right. But yeah, overall, definitely a very good show. As they're starting to leave Florida a little bit more here.
Yeah.
So yeah, but I guess you did. Next big show will be Stand and Deliver. So, have they announced yet if they're doing the Dusty Classic this year? They haven't announced it yet, have they?
I haven't seen anything about it. Whether they're doing any of their tournaments, Dusty Classic or, you know, Mae Young or Cruiserweight Classic again or anything. I haven't seen anything like that yet.
Yeah. Now, while we did get a great great show on Saturday, a lot happening last night on NXT. You know, what are you calling it? Of course, you alluded to it with Toxic Attraction being guest on the Ding Dong Hello show with Bayley. You know, once they put that door in there, I was like, wait a minute. I mean, there's no window, but I've been there before. I've seen that before.
Yeah, people were already thinking Sean to Marty. But the thing is, and I get the roles because, you know, people don't like JC. They want to boo her. And like I said, Gigi Dolan's kind of gotten a little bit of a following. She was, you know, had a lot of people cheering for her there at the show. And I think that's more apparent across the fan base as well. So it's natural that you would that would be the dynamic you go with, but hopefully they don't ultimately treat Gigi Dolan like the Marty, because I feel she's much more the Sean of that duo.
Yeah, definitely be interested to see what happens with both. Obviously, we know everything, Gigi. You know, is capable of. It's intriguing. It's fun. It's fresh for the women. So
JC threw her in, threw Gigi into the door, and then the door really didn't budge like it was supposed to. I'm assuming it was supposed to be much more dramatic. She bursts through and falls, and that's when JC pretty much stomped her right in the face. Did you see the picture today that Gigi posted?
I did.
Of her face all scratched up from boot.
The nasty redness on the left side of the
scraped up and bruised up from a stomping boot to the face. Yeah,
I mean, rough. She's lucky because that, you know, could have gotten the eye. You know,
could have gotten the eye. Could have broken a bone. You know, I mean, you never know.
Yeah. And so we see. So we also saw JD McDonagh come back and remind us that he's still there.
JD Mc, don't Google my name.
Yeah. Definitely don't Google his name. And we also get another surprise. Another surprise return, as Your main event, I think it was a mini, no, it was just the mini, yeah, it was a main event. No, it was not a main event. I'm sorry. But anyways, in the Carmelo Hayes JD McDonough match, we see Ilja Dragunov show up.
Yeah, that's
And
true.
I know, so a guy, like I said, like him in Europe, in Germany,
Yeah.
in England,
He
had a
was
huge name.
the guy who beat Walter for that, when Walter se when you know when Walter was NXT UK champion and seemed pretty much unbeatable. I mean, Dragunov was the guy who actually beat him.
So he is after JD McDonough. He must have Googled his name.
Well, those UK guys probably got, longer term beef than we realize. So one of the things that I found was a little confusing. It well for a lot of reasons, but the team of Caden Carter and now Katana Chance. Okay, so at the event on Saturday, they went into that match as the good guys. Okay. They were against two heels who, for whatever reason, kind of didn't like each other, didn't really want to work together that well. Whatever, they're both bad guys. But they ended up winning. Okay. So that means that Casey and Kayden, or Kayden and Katana, lost the NXT Women's Tag Team Championships. So for some reason, on Tuesday, they're now mean girl bullies and picking on Roxanne Perez, despite the fact that they lost their championships and Roxanne maintained hers against two people who were, essentially kind of in a handicap match for most of it. So that's kind of what threw me. On Saturday, they were the fun time, going out there, party girls having fun. And then a couple days later, they're kind of mean girl bullying Roxanne to where Roxanne was going to go get a partner to fight them. And they made fun of her for, oh, you don't even have any friends. Who are you going to get? And then Roxanne basically calls in the final boss, Mayako Satomura, to be her partner, which is cool. I love that. I'm glad they're bringing Mako back to television. But like I said, it seems very confusing how quickly those characters changed.
Yeah. Well, anything is possible in the World Wrestling Federation.
Well, yeah.
And maybe they saw that, how Tasha Tasha's able to get a title shot, and then maybe, hey, we don't have titles. Maybe we can try to get another title shot. Do another
Yeah.
2 for 1. Plus it's, I feel you got plenty of also baby faces in NXT as far as the women, some balance.
Okay. No, and I get that. I was just kind of shocked by
It's just weird how it was like so sudden.
how quickly. That's what I was more kind of confused by. Especially when the tag team champions are now heel. So if they're going to go heel, why do we want to see them chase these heel tag team champions?
Yeah, no, that's true.
But, I was happy to see the Baby Bull there. Even though he didn't wrestle, Baby Bull being Brooks Jensen, the son of Bull Buchanan. He didn't wrestle, but he was there on the show. He celebrated with his ladies after they won. Maybe someday we'll see him wrestle more regularly. I
Maybe.
guess he's still being trained, kind of, groomed, so to speak, for the PC style.
Well,
But if he doesn't say booyah at one point, I'm gonna be very disappointed.
be ready for disappointment.
Yeah.
But Tom Ricker got to do Steiner math. Why can't he say booyah?
Always in time. All right, so we take it. We go from NXT to New Japan Pro Wrestling. I know Eric's not here. He's missing the best part of the show. I want to say that for him, but you know, alas. Of course, we had the two shows in Australia, nothing really a circumstance happened, no. Except for Caveman Ugg defeated Hinari. I was surprised about that.
Very surprised to see Hinari lose. Yeah.
But other than that, we had two you know, very good shows in Australia, but
yeah,
man, the supporter yeah. shows.
Yeah, the new beginning and Sapporo shows. Wow, had some really good stuff on there. Yeah,
oh my gosh. So let's see here. We're gonna skip through all the tag.
Yeah, multi-mans. Yeah,
yeah.
The pre-group tag matches. Yeah. Right to the title. Yeah. Right to the big matches. Yeah.
We got the junior tag team title match. Junior heavyweight tag team title match. Catch 22. Of course, retain their titles against Just Four Guys. Well, I guess two of the Just Four Guys.
Two guys representing Just Four Guys. Yeah, that match was. I see now. I really, really enjoy Catch 2-2, the dynamic.
Yeah,
and they kind of changed it up a little bit this time with part of it being story. Because they're basically. Catch 2-2 and the team of Kanemaru and Doki are both kind of, mentor teacher or mentor protege teams. Okay. TJP and Kanemaru have both been wrestling, 20 some odd years. And Akira and Doki have wrestled for much less time, especially much less time in New Japan Pro Wrestling. So they're both kind of, being guided by the veterans. And this match was more about the protégés than the mentors, because it was Doki who had pinned Akira twice, once in the Super Junior Tag League, and then once at New Year's Dash. So it was as much about. Can Doki do it a third time when the belts are on the line? And, or can Francesco Akira, prove his worth and get the win back for his team and help maintain the belts? So both guys were under the strategy. Akira's whole thing is he's got this kind of wild temper, so it was kind of TJP had to be there to try to, keep him in check. Keep him focused and not just let him go be a little reckless trying to beat Doki. Focus on winning the match specifically, not just trying to defeat a single guy. But, both teams go out there and do some wild stuff and have a lot of fun, but also kind of ground it. Kanemaru is trying to ground and take the legs out of TJP, which have, kind of been bothering him since the Tokyo Dome. It was just a fantastic match, fantastic storytelling. And Akira, Francesco Akira does get the win on Doki, and to keep those titles. And that's something they mentioned during the match is those belts tend to change hands a lot, especially at the Tokyo Dome or shortly thereafter. And Catch 2-2 has had them for quite some time and made quite a few defenses. So, they're adding a little more stability to the division than what we've seen the last several years, at least, if not the last 4 or 5 years, even.
Yeah. And they're a really fun team to watch. For as much as TJP makes himself very unlikable as a person, he's definitely fun to watch.
TJP's always been a good wrestler. It's just that he's kind of been bland. So I think the dynamic between him and Akira, Akira's personality kind of helps make up for TJP's lack of one. And then TJP's experience kind of helps make up for Akira's slight lack of experience.
Mm-hmm. Next up, this was my match of the night. Will Ospreay defeating Taichi.
Holy crap, that was outstanding. Outstanding. And, you know, it's, we know Ospreay can go. He's been, you know, putting on amazing bouts since going to heavyweight. And we've seen Taichi have a lot of good matches, you know, now that he's kind of going back to this, you know, less and less of the cheating, more kind of the King's Road style that he was trained with under Kawada, under Toshiaki Kawada. You know, so you get Taichi with a really strong opponent and you see how good he is, and absolutely showed that. I mean, both guys went all out. You know, Ospreay had to dig deep into that playbook quite a few times, and reversal, kept having to continually try for the moves, you know, for Hidden Blade. He had to hitting it several times. And, you know, even finally took him several times to try to get Stormbreaker. But once he did, it was done. And yeah, just both guys looking outstanding, beating the holy tar out of each other. Great stuff.
Yeah, I really, you know, just definitely much to watch that night. I mean, two guys that actually showed, you know, the future's bright in New Japan. But, you know, also very interesting were Ospreay's comments in the press conference as he's talking about his United Empire and how he wants to expand the empire and would like to see a faction in Stardom.
Yeah, join the United Empire. Yeah, that's very interesting. I mean, he talked about other promotions and around the world and stuff, but yeah, he did mention Stardom specifically. Not just that he wanted like one or two wrestlers from Stardom, but he wanted an entire faction to join so that they have basically you have United Empire within Stardom. Given what I know about the factions that are already there, I think the faction that makes the most sense to become an extension of the United Empire would be Donna Del Mundo. And the reason being is that, so the Donna Del Mundo is, you know, essentially means, at least their translation of it, women of the world. Okay. And that's what it's kind of based around. You know, they're the majority of them, or at least Julia and Tekla, are non-Japanese born. And that's kind of the gimmick to an extent of the United Empire, is they're from around the world representing, you know, different varying empires from different parts of the world at different times. You know, you have islands with Cobb and Hinare. You have Australia, New Zealand with Aussie Open. Ospreay, UK, Great Okan being, you know, Mongolia, China, Japan, and then you have TJP, you know, essentially being, he's Filipino, but he's a Filipino American, and Francesco Akira being Italian. So, you know, it's supposed to be their kind of, you know, they represent from around the world. And so that's kind of the gimmick of Donna Del Mundo. So to me, I could see them based on those kind of gimmicks going in. But, you know, I mean, we don't know. It's, you know, I think that's that puts into play a lot of cool things, as we hope to see, more integration between Stardom and New Japan Pro Wrestling, this year.
Yeah. Definitely see, who could come out of it, but definitely, he's Ospreay definitely willing to grow that empire, and it's showing to be successful so far. That gives us our main event, Naito versus Shota Umino, and Umino did his best to try to keep up with Naito, but many attempts later, eventually hits the Destino, and I didn't see Naito losing either. I mean he's he's facing Muta in a few weeks.
This was Shota Umino's first ever main event singles match on a New Japan show. He hasn't been back from excursion long. So I think this was more about him having a strong showing in that position under that type of pressure, especially against, somebody who's been, a New Japan mainstay for roughly 15 years, a guy who's been, the top champion and various champions multiple times. So I think that was as much the story for Umino. It's not, I think less people predicted him coming out on top. It was more, can he keep up? Can he hang, or will Naito just run right through him? And I mean, this, the match went a good long while. And yeah, Shota had some good moves in there, had some good times where it looked like he was getting the upper hand, had some good reversals to some of Naito's offense. And of course, this will not be the last show main event for Umino. But surely no Rainmaker shock right out the gate. And I think that that is also going to continue to win him the fan support. The fans of Japan like to see a slow climb to success rather than just jumping and cutting to the front of the line and taking it, which is essentially what Okada did. And Okada was seen as a heel at the time, when he came in and kind of took over. When Switchblade did the same thing, he was kind of seen as a heel, but somebody like Tanahashi or, Naito, somebody who's had to work and fight from underneath to get these opportunities and find themselves at these top level locations, those are the ones the fans really sink into. And so I think Shota's doing a good job of that. He's already getting a lot of fan support and he hasn't been back very long. And so I think this is just going to help build on that.
Yeah. So we get to night two of the tag league. Now, mind you here, we did get multiple tag matches between Bullet Club and Guru's Destiny and Tanahashi. Mm-hmm. Bullet Club going 0-2 here, giving the edge to Hikuleo's team, as Hikuleo and Jay White will be facing off in just a matter of days.
Next week. Yeah, this Saturday, Sunday, one of those days. The 11th. Yeah, whatever the day is.
But yeah, Hikuleo so far, he's got momentum on his side, but momentum can switch. All right, so the three title matches on night two, of course, Bishamon retaining against TMDK.
Outstanding match, a lot of fun. I felt it didn't really hit that high gear that some of the tag matches do. So I would say really good, not great.
No.
It was a good showing for both teams. TMDK has had success a lot of places, but still trying to kind of have that kind of success in New Japan Pro Wrestling. Mm-hmm. This was only the first time that they've ever had a championship opportunity like that.
Right. Yeah, definitely very interesting. No, I would say for me, Rishimon, winning the World Tag League, I thought, okay, that's cool. They're not going to win the tag titles. They won the tag titles. And I don't know. I mean, to me, it's not like they're not old either, but they seem to be rejuvenated a little bit. You know,
yeah, after being
just stable members and people to be filler in multi-man matches for so long as they have been for the last decade. Now, deciding to get together and have a nice tag title run, I mean, it's definitely turned me around.
Yeah. Well, and I was always kind of, so-so with Goto. I felt Yoshihashi wasn't that good. I felt he seemed like he kind of was phoning it in a lot of times. He didn't really give it his all. But through the pandemic, and Yoshihashi started stepping his game up little by little, and then eventually, got in better shape, then he, Goto, and Ishii won the trios belts and, had that fantastic run. They have with 9 defenses, that's the most defenses of any team with that belt, as that belt usually flops hands very quickly. A lot of, I think they said 30 or 40% of the time, it's like a 0 defense reign. So they win the belt and then they lose it their very next match. So they put a lot of stability to that with those 3. And then once the House of Torture finally recaptured them, and they couldn't get it back. That's when Goto and Yoshihashi went as Bishamon. And I mean, they are killing it every single tag match they have. They both really just, like you said, had a rejuvenation. They've both been in New Japan for a long time. But it's kind of this resurgence, they just finally found the formula that works for them. And this is, their second reign with the belts, won the World Tag League 2 years in a row. I mean, the future looks great for him. I'd love to see, at this point, I pretty much love to see Bishamon just against just about any top level team.
Yeah, no, for sure. And in another great match, Zack Sabre Jr. versus Tomohiro Ishii. These two, not the first time they faced off each other, and it's always fun when these two wrestle each other because they're just such a contrast styles, and size and everything. But man, they seem to have really good chemistry. And obviously Sabre successful in retaining his title, but a fun match that never disappoints.
One of my things about the TV title having that 15-minute time limit too is that usually Ishii, Zack Sabre Jr. could go 20 plus minutes. Zack would try to kind of slow it down, wear Ishii's body down, stretch him out. When you have only 15 minutes to go, you don't have that luxury. So Zack's on the run the whole time. And Ishii is going to go on the run the whole time. The match ending with less than 30 seconds remaining in the time limit. Now, what I was unsure of initially is because I knew for the tournament, since they were doing a must be a winner scenario, if it went to a 15-minute time limit, they would flip a coin to see who won and who would advance in the tournament. So now it's still these 15-minute time limits, but it's pretty much a beat the champ type scenario. If it goes 15 minutes, tough luck, Ishii. You didn't beat the champion in that time. That's your title shot. You've lost. You're back to the bottom of the line again. Zack could do what he wanted to and try to just kill the time and stretch it out. But that's not what he wants to do. That's not the kind of wrestler he is. You know, he went right there from the bat trying to win it. You know, gets the win with the Zach Driver. I absolutely love this match. Like you said, every single time they wrestle, it's fun. But this was kind of like one of their matches with a little bit of fast forward on it. And it made it that much better. I actually went back and watched it twice before going on to watch the main event for the night. So it was just an outstanding match. And yet again, in under 15 minutes. So it makes it very easy and enjoyable to watch and rewatch.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure. It's just, listen, it's two guys that you could just watch forever. And, you know,
well, neither guy really has a bad match either, you know? So, I mean, they're both the kind of guys that can have a good match with anybody.
Except for Gino.
Yeah, well, that's Gino. That's poor Gino. He's a sweet man, but nobody ever said he was an outstanding wrestler. They just have this great chemistry because there is such a contrast in styles, but both guys are so good at adapting to somebody else's style when it's different than their own.
Right. And your main event here, we get Hiromu defending the junior heavyweight title against Yo. This one, almost 30 minutes, so I guess. And you see, here you go. Because of the TV title, I mean, these two guys, again, you said it could have gone 20, 30 minutes, but because of the time limit, we get a shorter match. So, you know, it's a little different here. We're not getting back-to-back 20, 30-minute matches. So that the main event doesn't feel as, at least to me, as exhausting. Because the last match just, you know, didn't go as long and wear me out.
Yeah.
Especially at that hour.
Yeah. No, I get that. It was a good match. It definitely didn't feel as long, but I also think that is somewhat to, you know, Yo and Hiromu, you know, run a very, very fast pace. Mm-hmm. So even though the match went long and they slowed down a little bit towards the end, they were still going faster than most people can. So even though it was a longer match, there was still a whole lot happening, a whole lot of action. You know, and you know, there were probably some people who were hoping that Yo would pull out the win, but similar to, you know, Shota Umino against Naito, it's just not meant to be right now. You know, maybe sometime down the line. You know, Hiromu maintains his perch atop the division, and it's essentially been his division since, like, 2016, mm-hmm. 2017. Pretty much since he returned from Excursion, he took over the division. He was on the sidelines rehabbing his neck, it was still kind of his division, just waiting for him to come back. You know, the one thing that I thought was interesting that Hiromu said at the Wrestle Kingdom press conference, the post-show comments, he said that since he did not pin the champion in the four-way match, he didn't really feel that he was the champion. He said until he would beat Ishimori for the championship, you know, in a championship match, he wouldn't really feel like he was the champion. He said he wasn't going to wear the belt until then, but he also, in Hiromu fashion, said, hey, forgive me if I do. I may forget. He's like, but my sentiment stands the same. I won't feel like I'm officially the champion until I beat the guy who held the belt in the match. Because he pinned Master Wato. He did not pin the champion. And unfortunately for Hiromu, he may have to wait a little bit longer for Ishimori to get back into title contention. Ishimori is getting getting schooled over by Master Watto, and they have a special singles match coming up that I don't know if it's going to go Ishimori's way or not. I mean, if he loses to Watto there after losing the title in a four-way match, I mean, that pretty much puts Ishimori at the back of the line.
Yeah, pretty much. But, I mean, like you said, it's been Hiromu's division for a long time. It's going to continue to be it. And, you know, now hopefully, knock on wood, he gets to have that title run that has eluded him because of injuries, you know?
Yeah, that's
and
true.
So we obviously know he's going to retain the title, the anniversary show coming up in a couple of months. Of course, there's a lot of different ways that the, IWGP World Heavyweight Championship can go. But, you know, assuming all the stars aligned, you know, and Okada remains champion after wrestling Shingo and after, the Valley show, we could very well see Okada versus Hiromu, champion versus champion at the anniversary show.
Yeah.
It's a chance. We've seen in him against Naito, but you know, 1-on-1 with Okada, it's huge. It's a huge match that we could see in a few months.
Yeah, absolutely, and because we do have that coming up in a couple months. But yeah, Okada has Shingo this weekend, and like you said at that Valley show, they haven't even announced who will be earning the title opportunity at that show. So as of now, you know, they might announce it, you know, once the champion is decided here at the New Beginning Tour.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if post match,
somebody comes out to challenge, be it, you know, maybe Ospreay or Jay White tries to come back and challenge again if he wins over Hikuleo. I mean, it's possible Jay White loses to Hikuleo and then still tries to challenge for that belt because he won't be wrestling in Japan for that championship.
Right.
And then if Jay somehow loses the loser leaves Japan match and is able to win the belt in California, now somehow the IWGP Heavyweight Championship is locked out of Japan.
Yeah. But unfortunately,
that's an if.
It's a big if, but let's not forget Jay White already has his hands full with Eddie Kingston.
That's true. He's Valley. Oh, that's not true. I forgot that. Yeah, he's got Kingston in that 1-on-1. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Fighting Kingston, even if he were to defeat Eddie Kingston, the fact that he would have to survive Eddie Kingston would not give him the needed rest.
Yeah,
to beat either
Okada or Shingo. Yeah, they're very, very true. I forgot he was already booked against Kingston. Yeah,
but hey, Hikuleo though. I mean, if Hikuleo were to beat Jay White, tell me why he wouldn't be, bragging out there and say, "Hey, I beat a former champion. What can I get?"
I beat the guy who lost the belt in January. Yeah. Yeah, Hikuleo could very well put his name in that hat very, very easily. And yet again, he's, you're going to say no to his face?
I was scared enough to go up to, walk up to him at the airport and ask for a photo. So a lot is happening, in New Japan. Of course, they just announced the WrestleMania duo show with
Impact. Yeah, interesting. Impact, yeah, already announced. Will Ospreay versus Speedball Mike Bailey, and was that Josh Alexander versus Kushida? I think was the other match.
Yeah, of course. Apparently, Kushida is going to spend more time in the United States.
Okay,
It's been announced, New Japan Pro Wrestling Academy here in the LA Dojo.
Oh, yeah.
And so they're going to have two classes. I can't remember who. So there's the intermediate class, the beginner's class. I think DKC and somebody else, Clark Connors maybe, I can't remember, are teaching that class. And then Kushida and Fred Roser are teaching
the advanced class. Okay, yeah.
And that starts this spring. So Kushida is going to spend a lot of time in the United States.
And then when they do these U.S. shows, I assume they'll be there. Interesting, yeah. I forgot about that.
I think that's something Kushida wanted to do when he came back to New Japan Pro Wrestling, is be able to still do, you know, what his goals, you know, when he first started with the Leafs, wrestling in the United States. Yeah. Obviously, timing and everything didn't work out for him.
Yeah.
But, here he is getting the opportunity. I mean, we've seen him. We see him in AEW. We'll see him in Impact. Heck, we could see him at Ring of Honor.
So after the New Beginning tour, at the end of the month, New Japan's Fantascomania tour starts again for the first time in a few years.
Six nights, I believe.
Yeah. That's always fun. Usually they do kind of some mini tournament, as well as a lot of bringing a lot of talent, a lot of interesting people. I assume Chiton will be back, in that, of course, representing, LIJ, and they always bring an interesting group of people. You know, there's a couple that kind of come every year or every other year. But they always manage to get an interesting mix of talent for the Fantascomania. So I'm excited to see what it does this year. It's always a fun tour.
Yeah. And I think one match we didn't mention that they did also announce for the Multiverse United, Jeff Cobb versus Moose as well.
Okay.
Is the third match announced.
Okay.
It's gonna be a fun match here. I mean, the Multiverse United, only the strong will survive. I hope they tighten those ropes, and because Jeff Cobb and Moose, that's heavy artillery right there.
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot, going into New Japan right now with everything going on, and also the New Japan Cup also starting.
Oh, up. Yeah, that's coming up not too long. Yeah.
Yeah, next month, and then Sakura Genesis, and then, of course, back in the United States for, more strong live shows. Capital Collision. In Collision in Philadelphia as well. I think that's all that they have officially announced. But that takes us through April. And then, of course, we start talking. I mean, I guess they're going to start doing the G1 late in the summer like they've been doing. So we're going to get early on.
That back to the summer probably, yeah.
Yeah, so still a lot more going on. But all right, so Monday night, and for a third week in a row, a huge show, and did great in the ratings. Raw's been doing very well when it comes to that.
The Road to WrestleMania, baby, that's why.
Oh, Mika, you are here. Well, you know what, just because of that, and because we are on the road to WrestleMania, let's see if this is gonna fail us or not. Yeah, it is gonna fail us. That's all right.
Were you gonna try to play some WrestleMania music?
He's trying to point to the sign.
You've got to point to the sign. If you don't point to the sign, you'll get in trouble and see what happens. What doesn't happen.
Yeah, it's just it's just not working with us for some reason. They're just not wanting to partake. But the road to WrestleMania, and of course, you know, we say the words Cody Rhodes and Mika's, you know, there for him because, you know, he is the savior of all people.
Cody, loser, it is Black History Month. You will respect that.
But yeah, Cody and Paul Heyman, man, you know, passionate, they're compliments to each other. Of course, you know, Heyman knowing how to, you know, end it in a good way to make sure he, you know, I loved it when Heyman told Cody, Dusty told me, the last thing Dusty told me was that you, Cody, were his favorite son. But Roman was the son he wished he had. Oh, he worked out
hard. That's some hard shit. Yeah,
that was so good, especially after all the compliments that Cody had given Heyman, you know, earlier that evening. But yeah,
that was
fantastic.
Cool. That
was so cool. Fantastic,
wonderfully. Paul Heyman, I am a Paul Heyman girl. I literally grabbed my shirt and pointed to my chest, and I wasn't even wearing the shirt that says I'm a Paul Heyman girl. But the fact of the matter is, Paul Heyman is a wordsmith, and you put a mic in that man's hand, you have to stop and listen. Cody was able to kind of keep pace and track with Paul, which a lot of people can't do. So I was more impressed with Cody Luther King coming out of Monday night. I mean, the stories they told really quick, really kind of pulling back the curtain, as they were saying, you know, as they were telling stories about, you know, how Cody's family was on hard times and how Paulie was a savior paying Dusty and, you know, kind of keeping the family afloat, putting money in their pockets, food on the table. And the fact that Paul so slyly and eloquently threw in that low blow saying, well, Roman was the son he wished he had. I want more of it. I can't wait to see more promos from this epic matchup that we're getting.
Yeah, and we're only getting started with that. Of course, you know, we got to see Edge and Beth Phoenix back, and it looks like we have a challenge, a match set for Elimination Chamber. Edge and Beth versus Finn and Rhea.
That is, yeah, excellent. I've been waiting to hear that kind of announcement for a few months now. It's fucking here, hells yes.
What about Dom, though? I mean, that's not even his woman. Finn is just going to, you know, stand there for Dom. Are we scared that Dom is going to tear Edge apart?
Nobody's scared of Dom doing anything like that, okay? Dom is the sub in the relationship, okay? His name may be Dom, but he's definitely a sub. Finn Balor has been battling Edge. Dominic is probably going to be looking to try and, you know, humiliate Stepdaddy some more.
Listen, Dom took the glam slam Monday night, and I was like, oh, that is true. Dom is really the bitch.
He's the Dom. His name is Dom, but he's the sub. Yeah. You saw that video of them training for the Royal Rumble. He's like, can you put me down now, mommy?
That was great. I love.
I'm definitely excited to see that one.
I can't see Rhea losing this match with her main eventing WrestleMania night one probably. I see she's got to get Beth out of the way, but I don't see her losing. So this is going to be interesting to see.
I mean, either of the guys could take a loss and have it not really affect them too much is the thing. You know? I mean, it's very possible that Rhea could somehow pin Edge
you know, be it maybe Finn lays Edge out or kind of assists, and then Rhea gets the pinfall over Edge, which looks even bigger for her heading into a possible main event of WrestleMania, you know?
I mean, Rhea could probably put Edge in her, do her finisher to Edge.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I mean, she basically could, but I would think in order to protect Edge a little bit, they would maybe have him take kind of a combination of finishers from Finn and Rhea. Maybe Rhea hits the Riptide, Finn comes off with a double stomp, then Rhea does the pin, you know? So they both hit their moves. That makes sense why, you know, Edge stayed down, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, I very well could see Rhea pinning Edge as opposed to pinning Beth in that one.
Yeah, I mean, I could also see a different way that if we're going to protect Edge, you know, they could, you know, Beth could be the one that takes the fall and set things off for this match that we've been waiting to hear be made in the Hell in a Cell match between Finn and Edge. So it's just a matter of see where they how they get there. I mean, they're definitely almost there, but they got to do something to set it off. Another just clean win by Judgment Day doesn't feel like a reason why they should even give Edge the time or day. So they get it. They both have to have something in it to be finally say, okay, let's do this. Finish it once and for all at WrestleMania. So yeah, that's there. Oh my gosh, I feel like a lot happened to those 3 hours of Raw. We got another qualifying match. We had the two qualifying matches for the United States title, the cage match. And
it's the Eliminate.
Who was it?
It was the Street Profits individually, Montez Ford against Elias, and the other one, I forget his name, against Big Boy.
Angelo Dawkins and yes, Montez him. Ford, yes.
But see, Marty I'm not the only one.
Jr., that's who he is. He's the one that's going through the barbershop with.
Yeah, well, and or find another series of various tag team partners to find modern success. Yeah, I don't see Angelo being a breakout solo star. I see him going from one partner to the next.
Back on NXT
by 2024.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so we got both Priest and Montez Ford now joining Theory, Rollins, Gargano, and Bronson Reed. And on the women's side, Carmella and Natalia have qualified. So they will be joining Asuka, Liv Morgan, Nikki Cross, and Raquel Rodriguez in the Women's Elimination Chamber match. So yeah, that and Roman Reigns versus Sami Zayn for the Undisputed Universal Championship. That has been made official after Friday night, of course, when we saw Roman Reigns you know, get attacked by Sami Zayn, get speared by Sami Zayn, but you know, there's always power numbers, the bloodline's always around, even if they're not complete, they're still around. And there to save Roman, but Sami Zayn demanded for the match, and he got it. So it'll be Reigns versus Zayn officially at Elimination Chamber. Okay, so obviously a lot of people are talking about this being compared to the Daniel Bryan, you know, WrestleMania 30 match that should have happened, that it didn't happen, but then it did happen, you know, with now Cody in the Batista role. Of course, Cody, I mean, as we could see on Monday, completely the crowd behind him, but do you guys feel like Sami Zayn should get a title shot at WrestleMania, or do you guys think it's okay that they're going along with the semi-original plan and let this just be over after Elimination Chamber?
I think Sami goes down at Elimination Chamber. And then it moves on to Cody Roman. And then I think you have to go to Roman losing his shit. Okay? And trying to blame others for the loss. So I think that then it goes to Roman and Jey Uso. I think he's going to blame Jey Uso for, you know, quote unquote, convincing him to bring in Sami, and then Sami turning on him, and then, you know, Jey just running off and leaving him, you know, and all this. I think he's going to blame Jey. And then I think that it moves to a Jey versus Roman program again, possibly with Jey getting a big singles win over Roman. And then maybe Roman taking a little time off because he was talking about wanting to go part-time, et cetera, et cetera. That's where I see that heading. So, yeah, I see this as Sami gets his big opportunity. He gets very close. You know, maybe closer than just about anybody's had recently. But ultimately, he still loses, so that Cody then goes on to face Roman and defeat him.
Do you think there should be any backlash because of that, though? Or do you guys think that this is the right move?
I honestly think Sami deserves a true shot. How long? I mean, this bloodline thing, it is with along the same lines of how Daniel Bryan, how the crowd took to him. The crowd, everybody took to Sami. This role was just, you know, supposed to be a one-off. And here we are, you know, upset, some of us, that Sami Uso was really never a thing, that it really could have been a thing. But honestly, because it was so organic and it just worked until it didn't, I think in Montreal, honestly and truly, in order to keep Roman strong, Sami somehow, Jey Uso helped defeat Roman. Sami goes to WrestleMania. You throw Roman back in the mix for some reason for your three-way dance. And then, you know, hey, Cody can hang Roman again. And that's when Roman loses his shit. I'm all about a Roman breakdown. But I think we have it after Mania, after he gets defeated twice out of, you know, the 900 and some odd days he was champion. And here we go, back-to-back losses. But I really think Sami should have a shot, just because not only has he earned it from his, you know, his steadfastness to the company, but man, think about the merchandise. People were buying Sami's honorary Uso top. They bought Sami, you know, champ shirt just for the hell of it.
Okay, I could see that. I forgot all about their usual automatic rematch at Backlash. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, WrestleMania Backlash.
That tour is
awesome. Yeah, I usually give you the three ways or singles matches. Yeah, or a return match or something. Yeah.
You know, I'm on the phone with Hunter. Vince is not taking my calls anymore. I don't know why, but, you know, on the phone with H. We talk it out. We'll see.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's pretty much all that happened. Corbin got kicked to the curb by JBL.
Already.
Yeah, because apparently too much of a loser. He can't, you know, JBL can't be surrounded by losers. So
well, you know.
It was, he got beat. Who did he get beat by? He got beat by somebody. Oh, he got beat by Dexter Lumis this week. Last week, he got beat by Gargano. JBL standing there with the mad face on, like, I can't believe this. He's basically saying he put his legacy on the line, and this dude can't win a match. So, I mean, who really was interested in Corbin being a wrestling god? I know I didn't buy it. Nobody in their right mind bought it. So, hopefully this doesn't lead to a match with JBL. I don't want to see him lace back up any boots, but...
Yeah, pretty much. I heard somewhere, I guess Corbin did an interview that he had pitched an idea of when he went to like poor Corbin that he would keep that that storyline going longer until eventually, you know, people would have pity on him and turn him babyface.
Huh.
And he mentioned wanting to try being a babyface Corbin. I mean,
happy Corbin guys, was to an extent, right? I mean,
he was happy, but he was happily bragging that he had all this money and everybody else was losers. So he was happy, but
he was still an arrogant jerk. Yeah. I think Corbin's too good at being a heel. Why ruin it? Because to me, Corbin is he understands how to get over as a heel in modern times. Okay, it's not just doing stuff in front of the crowd. You have to do full 360, which means you keep it up online, but you also have to keep it up without being like tongue in cheeky to where the fans like it and they respect you. You know, like MJF, you know, he's an asshole, but like in a fun, playful way to where the fans like it and they respect his, you know, his commitment to the craft, etc. Corbin, similar to how Brock Lesnar was when Lesnar was still a part-timer and a heel, you act like you're better than wrestling. You know, you act like you don't need professional wrestling. That professional wrestling needs you. I think that's one of the big ways, and that's what Corbin was doing so well. So, to me, I don't think he needs to go to a babyface. Definitely not anytime soon, because he is one of the few guys who gets it, who understands what it takes. And once you kind of break that by him becoming a nice guy and a friend, I don't think he can go back.
I can see that. I can understand that. I just don't... He doesn't seem like a babyface. I mean, just looking at him, maybe...
That's what I'm saying. He's so good at being... he's so good at being dislikable. You know, you really truly believe that that's how he is, that the guy's just a fucking dick.
Yeah, he has that face. Like, yeah. Huck would say, he has a punchable face. He has a face that is just made to hate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty much. Brock Lesnar versus Bobby Lashley, I thought when they were going to do this match, they were going to do it at WrestleMania. They're now advertising the match for Elimination Chamber, although and I'm not sure right what the contract said, but I mean, I don't think we're going to get this match at Elimination Chamber. They'll probably fight and not actually have an actual match and say that for WrestleMania. I was very surprised that they, unless they accidentally said Elimination Chamber. But that was what it sounded like they were saying. But yeah, no. I think this gotta be something that they're gonna do something different. Unless they do want to just blow it off and do something with someone else. I mean, if you're going to have Lesnar, obviously he's back. He's going to be at WrestleMania. If not Lashley, then who?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, we would all like it to be Big E, but I don't know. I honestly don't know if he's ready. You would think that they would have brought him in the Rumble if he was good and clear. But at the same time, I don't know.
Yeah. So yeah, we shall see. So that's pretty much Raw. Another note. You know, we've seen MVP's been trying to get with back with Bobby Lashley. Well, this time he accompanied Cedric and Shelton in their tag match against Alpha Academy. Of course, Alexander and Benjamin victorious. With MVP by his side, could we be seeing that little by little, the return of the Hurt Business? I mean, I feel like there's, pun intended, unfinished business with this faction, and I very much would like to see them reunite.
They need to be reunited. Yeah. They need to have that MVP kind of rub and the people to kind of get behind them. It would be good for Bobby too. Bobby would help elevate those guys. So I'm hoping for that that reunited in the field.
Yeah. How do you guys like the new Karen character for Chelsea?
I mean, it's. I think we're waiting to see how it goes, you know. A, because yeah, the Karen, but also like, she's getting whooped, man. You know, the fastest record elimination in Women's Royal Rumble, also pretty much being the first opponent for the new Asuka. Yeah, I don't know where I think we're still seeing how it goes. I mean, she definitely can play the character well, but it's whether whether it's whether I guess longer term.
Are you the manager? That was Dalvin Chocolate and not Chris, and I know because I was like, shout out Chelsea, I love it. But the problem I'm seeing is we've got too much of that same character because isn't that Tiffany Stratton on NXT? I'm like,
Yeah. Now, last week we were supposed to get, the Raw 30 or was it 2 weeks ago? I can't remember. We were supposed to get a Road 38 cage match between Becky Lynch and Bayley. Of course, we didn't get it because of time. But here, they get not only just a match on Raw, they get top billing, the girls' main event Monday Night Raw, and great cage match. Of course, Damage Control wants to get involved. And who do we get? None other than the Hall of Famer, Lita, returning here to help out Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch defeats Bayley. And I think, I got to imagine Lita was supposed to interfere regardless. I mean, I'm assuming she was going to be at the 30th anniversary. And they just didn't use her because they didn't do the match. But I thought it was a really fun ending, and maybe Lita's coming back for another match.
Well, I thought it was already announced for Elimination Chamber, the 6-person tag. Damage Control versus Becky with Trish and Lita.
I had not heard
any. I had not heard that unless either.
Unless that's just the rumor, maybe.
Are you on the phone with
that, you know, Damage Control versus Becky? Because everybody else that could be teaming with Becky, you know, have their hands tied with other people.
Yeah.
So she gets the faces from the past to help her.
I kind of like it.
Trish on one side, Lita on the other. I mean, those are two of Mika's favorite girls right there.
And going against Bailey and her girl. Bailey and her girls are kind of beat up right now. So we got some confidence in Elimination Chamber, but still, it's going to be interesting to see what we actually shake out to, because Bailey was looking a little banged up on NXT, and we know that Dakota is on a crutch right now, and poor Io, who knows after she got pulled down up there. Damage Control is probably damaged more than we know.
And that's true too, yeah.
Well, that'll be see if we get that in the Elimination Chamber. I mean, so far we only have 5 matches announced, so yeah. Now, quickly, AEW news. It is official, an Ironman match for the AEW World Title between Bryan Danielson and MJF. And a week after, after the one of the Gunn's sons tells his daddy to go back to the bottom of a pill bottle, and as he was walking away last week, they get that title match, and the Guns are the Gun Club, I think that was still called themselves, are your new AEW tag team champions. I thought that their dad was gonna turn as well on the champs and help his boys, but
yeah, that was kind of what everybody was thinking. Apparently not.
Well, nope,
the boy, you
know, apparently
one of the boys clocked daddy with the title, and the ass boys, the Gun Club now rule the roost in the AEW tag team division.
Well, I guess Billy cannot stop scissoring, you know?
I guess that's just, you gotta be careful, kid. Too much scissoring could be bad.
Yeah. He's gonna need a different type of pill for that. But yeah, Bryan Danielson versus MJF in the Iron Man match.
Obviously, yeah, I don't want to have to watch MJF wrestle that long.
Obviously, we know what the American Dragon can do.
You will not disrespect my AEW World Champion, MJF.
He's not that good of a wrestler. He's a sports entertainer at best. Okay, he's a much better talker and a very bland wrestler.
And he's better than you.
He's better than you, and you know
it. Just because he says it doesn't mean he is.
You're being.
If you have to say it so much all the time, it's probably not true. Okay, like that little random spot that says we got the best hamburgers in America. Like if they gotta tell you that they have the best, it's probably not true.
I mean, the Usos say they're number one. So you saying that's not true? Come on.
Absolutely not.
There's this place in the corner of Ponce de Leon and Boulevard that is called Best Wings, and bro, those are darn great wings. All right, It's in the title. Okay, so we know what the American Dragon is all about. We know what he can do. Honestly, no disrespect, but this is going to be a really big test for MJF. If he can keep with the American Dragon and actually have a... I've seen some people try to do Ironman matches and make it look so horrible, like too slow for time.
Yeah.
Right, and that's a hit. That's like, don't have that every match if you can spend half of it just stalling.
Yep.
And now we're here. Yeah, MJF is gonna prove us if he truly is, you know, one of the best. But yeah, we might see a new champion. My prediction, though, I do think Bryan Danielson will win the AEW title.
And seal. But, thank you very much. And seal, you mean to say. It's fine. I fixed it.
There was nothing to fix. It was perfect the way it was.
No. Don't make me ask you.
So they just
okay.
All right. So WWE just announced the site for SummerSlam this year. They're going to Detroit, Michigan, Ford Field, is what it's called, where the Indianapolis Colts play. And this is a closed stadium, so it's not an open stadium. It's got a roof. So, yeah.
Wait. You said Detroit, Michigan, but are they in Detroit or are they in Indiana?
Did I say Indiana? I'm sorry.
You said the Indianapolis Colts play.
I didn't mean that. I meant that it was the Detroit Lions play. My apologies.
I'm so confused. Oh my God.
English is not my first language. I can't tell the teams apart, okay? I still can't tell which Uso is which. To me, I call it the J&J Connection Part 2.
Part 2? Who's the original J&J Connection?
Wasn't there like the two guys who were
J&J Security?
Yeah, J&J Security. Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Jamie Noble and Joey Matthews. Yeah,
sure. He does the real names.
It's the names they went with at the time.
Yeah. So yeah, Ford Field, Detroit, where the Detroit Lions play. It's an enclosed stadium. I don't know what they had to worry about.
Fireworks, rain.
I guess it rains in the summer they're by the Great Lakes, so I'm sure there's gonna be the reasons. But yeah, they don't have to worry about any rain this time. I can't remember, Mika, did it rain at all when we were in the summertime in Nashville?
No,
I don't think so, right?
So, yeah. I can't remember. No, I don't think it did. I just remember
May.
But no, I think
we're. But playing it safe, though, I mean, even though it did not rain, I do remember seeing the stadium very well prepared for rain. So, I guess they're going to have to deal with that this time, so they'll be in an enclosed stadium, but stadium nonetheless. I mean, it's not going to be filled up the way the WrestleMania is. Probably half the stadium is going to be filled up. Hopefully, I mean, and I'm afraid they're going to do another long ramp again, and I don't really like that for these stadium shows.
The long ramp is ridiculous because, like, what was this last interview where they literally had to kind of run down, turn a corner, and then keep coming? I was like, wow, this is bad.
Yeah, it'll be interesting, but yeah, we got, you know, they're going all over the place here. Money in the Bank taking place overseas. They haven't announced the next Saudi Arabia show yet. And I don't think they've announced the stuff for the next Royal Rumble, but did they announce Survivor Series? I don't think so either. I think we just have SummerSlam. But yeah, the road to WrestleMania, all full aboard. Lots happening in pro wrestling, but lots happening in the next couple weeks. And let's not forget, I know Dennis' favorite time of the year, the Super Bowl. So, yeah, as also The Rock is excited because he's kicking off the XFL in a few weeks as well. So, I don't know. I am intrigued to see what Dwayne's version of the XFL is going to be all about. But let's make quick predictions right now. Does the XFL go for more than one season?
Nope.
It's always been a difficult thing trying to get fans away from the NFL. You know, XFL, arena football, I don't know.
Well,
the Rock brings them in, but he's not going to make them stay. The novelty of it all, maybe people will show up, maybe they hope to see him or whatever, but they're not going to come back for season two. It will not, unfortunately, do.
So the only one way to find out is by sticking, tuning in, and watching. It's going to be an interesting season as The Rock, you know, the most electrifying man in sports entertainment, tries to become the most electrifying man in the gridiron. But yeah, I don't think it's going to go. I'm going to be nice. I'll give it two seasons. But I don't think it gets more than that for sure. But yeah, and who knows? By then, McMahon might buy it back again. Who knows? So he needs a way to funnel money, I'm sure, at some point.
And yeah, it's just a money laundering scheme. That's what it seems like to me.
Yeah. And with that, that is all for tonight. I hope everyone. Thanks for listening. I want to thank everybody for listening. Make sure you continue to listen and check out the past episodes on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, TuneIn, Amazon Music, and Spotify. We're also on the social medias at FOW Radio. Danny's on Twitter at Danny F in Danger. Mika's on Twitter at Mika Villas. Eric somewhere, but on Twitter, you can find him at EJ423X. I am on Twitter at YellowmanPA. And until next time, hopefully with some music, keep watching wrestling.